As a non-commercial educational radio station, KZSC supports the free expression of ideas. Please be aware that the opinions expressed are those of the speakers or artists only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the UC Regents, KZSC staff, management, or underwriters. We welcome your feedback on our programming. Please direct your comments to the Program Review Committee at 831-459-4726 or by email at prc@kzsc.org. Welcome to the Pandemoscene podcast, where we attempt to create knowledge that orients us towards justice at this critical historical juncture. On August 24th, 2020, we spoke with Aaron McElroy about housing justice, landlord tech and surveillance, and the role of AI in this new world shaped by the pandemic. McElroy earned their doctorate of feminist studies from UC Santa Cruz and is now a postdoctoral researcher at New York University's AI Now Institute. Due to the urban soundscape of New York City, we decided to edit out some of the segments from this Zoom interview that were important but too challenging to hear clearly, including McElroy's introduction to the Anti-Eviction Mapping Project. In early 2021, the SJRC will help McElroy celebrate the launch of the Anti-Eviction Mapping Project's newly released book, Counterpoints, a San Francisco Bay Area's Atlas of Displacement and Resistance, published by PM Press. We also want to take a moment to mention another project before we commence with the interview. The Science and Justice Research Center is co-sponsoring a project with the Center for Public Philosophy at UC Santa Cruz to create a deck of playing cards that will catalyze conversations about ethics and technology. And we want your ideas. Cards will not tell players what to think. They are a playful way to stimulate dialogue on some of the critical issues we need to face. If there's a question about tech and ethics, or social justice or individual rights that you think is urgent or particularly troubling, please submit your ideas to techfutures52@ucsc.edu by December 1st to receive a pack of cards.
By doing some research, I learned that you're a fellow at the AI Now Institute at NYU. Is that correct?
Postdoctoral researcher.
Yeah. Okay. Does the work you do there, has that shifted to involve COVID and the pandemic? And can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So I'm working on a different project there, tracking what we're calling landlord tech, landlord technology, which is like the different surveillance systems, algorithms, hardware, software, you know, databases, et cetera, used by what are called property technology companies. Or the industry calls it prop tech, but it's a new industry that emerged following 2008 that really combines the real estate industry and big tech in order to offer technological solutions and disrupt, the real estate industry and make it, frictionless and all these kind of buzzwords. But so there's a new project that we launched last week, actually called Landlord Tech Watch, which is also a crowdsourcing platform that documents the deployment of landlord tech in housing. So that project I'm doing kind of as a hybrid between a mapping project and the AI Now Institute. And one of the things we've been noticing is that landlord tech has been marketed in new ways and being deployed in new ways in the wake of COVID. Yeah, so we have like new tenant screening systems that are being deployed in order to keep track of tenants who don't pay their rent. And that data can be used to blacklist them from future housing. There are new like surveillance systems being implemented, claiming that they can detect whether tenants have COVID or not, and that's being sold to landlords. And then on top of that, in the wake of the uprising and the movement for Black Lives, we're seeing companies like Google Nest working with, for instance, like Dish TV and selling Google Nest cameras to Dish TV subscribers under the purview of like protecting property from the dangerous looters that are now like roaming the streets. So, which we know it's an extremely racist way of referring to what's happening. But yeah, so really over the last few months, I've been following and tracking the different ways that stuff is being sold.
Yeah, going off of that, in general, what would you say, like, AI's role in, like, life today? Would you say that it's playing, like, a positive role or a more negative one?
I mean, I think, yeah, like, all of the contact tracing, all of that stuff, I mean, it's being unleashed with far too little testing. And so this was already a problem before COVID. It's, of course, been exacerbated as of late. But what we've been seeing is that it leads to new forms of gentrification and eviction. We know that the algorithms that facial recognition systems use are extremely biased and are very faulty at identifying people of color, particularly non-cis dudes. There are a lot of false positives that can be created. People can be denied housing, not let into their housing, particularly if they're not white. These systems are extremely dangerous, I think, to be unleashing in housing right now in a moment when being houseless is directly correlated with increased susceptibility to contracting COVID.
And with all of these different things happening, we've talked about the pandemic, we've talked about the uprisings for Black Lives Matter, and now like the fires, there's obviously an increased like look, at least for some people, at the like houseless populations, especially like with the fires in the Santa Cruz area. How are you deciding what to focus like energy and time in your like COVID response to?
Yeah, there's so many things to be doing. I think it's just a matter of like capacity. And I think right now there's the effort to you know, map all this legislation, and a lot of the legislation is expiring right now, and people are anticipating this huge wave of evictions come September in lots of different cities and counties and states. So, we've been trying to keep up with the policies as they expire, mark them as such, and also track evictions and offer. We're working with other networks and organizations and coalitions to then be able to link the information we have to different resources or tools, tenants find attorneys should they get eviction notices. And we aren't doing anything to respond to the fires right now. And so it's just like a matter of like what infrastructure we have already developed that we can use. And we're entirely volunteer-led and based. So how many folks can lend a hand?
There's a lot of projects that you all have ongoing right now. Can you describe like a recent moment that you felt like really happy or felt like that something was really coming together, just to orient about like where your efforts might be in this project?
In all of that, I never imagined that there would be a way to like join forces or bring people and collectives together. But I think there have been many times now where I'm in a Zoom meeting and it's like my colleagues in Romania and in Brazil and in Montreal and Italy, and we're all like, I never thought we would all kind of share the same space. Just mm-hmm. being able to do that has been really mm-hmm. heartwarming.
What are you finding when you meet people from other places, from other countries, from other continents? What are you learning from those interactions and their experiences with housing there?
Like, I'm always like checking my global north or US like centricism in terms of understanding the way that housing works, evictions work, etc. When we first started making the map global, a lot of comrades in Eastern Europe were saying, you know, it's great that you're tracking rent strikes. Like, at first it wasn't called housing justice actions, it was just rent strikes, but they're like, you know, people aren't going on rent strikes here, but that doesn't mean that people aren't organizing mutual aid and aren't supporting each other. It's just that we don't have this history of rent strikes. That's very prevalent in the West. In Brazil, we're saying, you know, like we've been flooding in these buildings and doing occupations for decades, but we can't go on rent strike because we've never been able to afford rent anyway. So it's like we've always been on rent strike, but if we don't call it rent strike, you know, we can't just map rent strikes globally because they don't mm-hmm. exist globally because of these different histories of land and tenure. Mm-hmm.
Personally, what have been some of the biggest challenges of like working through this pandemic and creating these new projects?
For one, I mean, there's just so much loss, and like there's so many people in our collective who have experienced tremendous loss. I think sometimes it can feel like feeding and demoralizing to like we can do all this work to track all of these policies, and then within a month they all expire and they don't even exist anymore. And actually the pandemic's getting worse, and you know, more people are dying. So there's a way that, yeah, we could put a lot of effort or energy into creating something, but it's not like our math is going to solve the problem, and nor do we have any pretense that it will, but it's maybe it can play a really, really small part in supporting on the ground efforts that are, you know, housing organizers and tenants and folks in different neighborhoods and coalitions are already doing. The other thing is that, you know, as so many folks have lost their jobs, like we've seen a lot of different housing organizations that are funded also like lose funding or like get spread really, really thinly and need more support. And it's like sometimes hard just to know like how can we support, like what can we do? How much do we need to change what we're doing to respond to each moment? Like, how do we plan out a long-term project when we don't know what the world will be like in a month or two?
KZSC is proud to produce local and reliable news and talk programs from the Monterey Bay, for the Monterey Bay, and beyond. All of KZSC's news and talk shows are produced in-house by our dedicated volunteers who depend on your donations to continue our essential programming. To help us continue this important work, head to our website at kzsc.fm/give. With your patronage, we can expand our locally produced news programs to bring you stories you can't hear anywhere else. Thank you for supporting local journalism here at KZSC Santa Cruz. Monterey Bay's undocumented workers are overrepresented in the service, hospitality, and agriculture industries, which have all been severely impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. There are over 90,000 undocumented workers in the Monterey Bay area. At the same time, undocumented workers have been excluded from federally and state-funded safety net programs. UndocuFund Monterey Bay is a collaborative effort to provide undocumented workers and their families with a one-time emergency financial assistance. You can learn how to be a part of the solution at undocufundmb, all one word, .org.
It seems that not only does your organizing on the ground, your academics kind of affect your organizing on the ground. Can you talk about maybe that, but also how you translate so much like academic language and knowledge to people who may not like understand that?
Hard sometimes to see the distinction. Like I think that I'm always trying to sort of blur the distinction, I think, in my own life, because I feel like some of my greatest teachers are tenants who have been like organizing the tenant association for years and years, and they're not in academia. And I think like I also love certain parts of academia and love reading and writing. And you know, Santa Cruz has been a great place to do that. The person that I've been working with most on this project, went to undergrad a long time ago, but isn't like in academia and is more oriented towards like policy change and reform when it comes to AI and machine learning. And so, and then I've been able to work with different tenants who have been fighting top tech, and for a while we were calling it top tech and then realized that that doesn't really translate to a lot of tenants. So we've been, you know, workshopping, like, what do you even call this? Like, how do we want to describe it? What kind of nomenclature do we want to create? And that's when we came up with the term landlord tech and tried to create a nomenclature for what landlord tech is, but from a tenant perspective, and where we could, you know, very clearly list out associated harms with different technologies, again, from a tenant perspective. So, I don't know. I mean, it's like I'm technically being funded as a postdoc in NYU, like, but I'm able to put in a lot of my time into this. And like the goal isn't to write a fancy paper, but really to produce information that can help tenants, hopefully inform folks about other pre-existing ways that tenants have already determined that they can, in which they can fight back. So it's just like sharing resources really and trying to make things tangible. There's also like no imperative for landlord tech companies to register where they're deploying their technology. So by mapping that and creating the sort of database around that, we can then offer that in public testimony or in different sort of policy hearings around landlord tech abuse to show how profuse it is and to kind of use it as evidence in policy reforms. So those are just some of the ways where I think I'm trying to blur the boundaries.
It sounds like the way you've made some of your work accessible is to really think about it from a tenant's perspective, right? Because at the end of the day, it sounds like it's the tenants that you're trying to help out and keep housed. And language is a huge thing. You know, you also mentioned language there, which is, I find, one of the biggest barriers sometimes, and also the framing of a project have been barriers to blurring the line between academia and real life, if you will.
There have been challenges for you as you've made the transition from the Bay to New York, like understanding, because you had the chapters of the anti-eviction mapping project in New York before, but being on the ground there, did that change your worldview or your view of the project at all?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's been challenging for sure, and that I'm still like attending organizing meetings in San Francisco while I'm living in New York. So I feel like I'm also attending meetings here, but it's like, you know, you can only go to so many meetings a day. So I feel like even though I'm here, I'm still also there. And that's always, I mean, that's even easier now in this weird way with everything being on Zoom. But I think in terms of the landlord tech stuff, I think New York is definitely its epicenter, one of its epicenters, and that the real estate industry in New York is like what the tech industry is to the Bay Area. You know, I think perhaps finance and also real estate in New York are just such big industries. So I've been able to go to a lot of these like prop tech industry conferences where I learn about how the industry thinks of itself. But also there have been these really beautiful tenant struggles and organizing campaigns against landlord tech in different buildings in Brooklyn and in Manhattan and Bronx. And so I think I wouldn't, not that this stuff isn't happening in the Bay Area too. I think there's just maybe a bit more of it happening and maybe a bit more resistance here. But so I've been able to learn from those struggles.
What are some of your greatest concerns going forward with the pandemic, but simultaneously, what are you finding hope in during this pandemic? And what is giving you hope for the future?
I'm concerned. I think a lot of housing organizers are concerned around what people are calling this huge wave of impending evictions that are about to become very real in California, other states as well. There have been, you know, these moratoriums that were temporarily enacted for, it could be anywhere from like a week to several months. But as they expire, there are anticipated, you know, waves of evictions that will displace, you know, more people than we can really imagine or prepare for. So yeah, so that terrifies me. Yeah, I think at the same time, maybe the organizing that's happening, the direct actions, the campaigns, the legislation, you know, the move to cancel rent, to abolish private property alongside abolishing the police. Like, I think all of these calls have gotten, I mean, they were already there before, but I think the calls and the organizing have been really amplified and really powerful. And so, yeah, I just like walk around my neighborhood and see different buildings on rent strike and, you know, sheets hanging out their windows, you know, calling for rent cancellation. And yeah, I think all of that is really, really powerful.
Is there anything that you, you know, if people are listening to this and want to get involved, are either like a data scientist or maybe just, you know, someone renting, how would you recommend people get involved with the mapping project?
Yeah, so we're always open to folks getting involved. We onboard new folks almost every week or so. So yeah, so if anybody wants to get involved, there's an email address right on the Anti-Eviction Mapping Project's website. And yeah, we would be excited to welcome folks. We have some community agreements that we always send people who are interested in getting involved. Politics align, but otherwise people don't need any special like skills or anything like that. There are plenty of ways to plug in.
Dr. McElroy has challenged us to think about the multiple types of AI technologies that are coming into play for renting and tenants' rights, landlord surveillance, and prop tech. While this pandemic brings its own specific challenges to housing and is causing even more evictions, we ask, how can individuals and groups continue to build organizing power and to use new mapping technologies to document and fight injustices? Dr. McElroy has shown that it does not take specialized skills to get involved, only a political willingness to work with others to fight for housing justice. We follow in the spirit of this discussion by acknowledging that the lines between intellectual pursuit and activist organizing are often, or always, blurred. And, returning to a founding question of the Science and Justice Research Center, we ask, what can and does justice look like on the ground, as it is enacted, such as by housing and tenant activists?